Awalapini was developed by Brigham Young University in the 70s to take to the people up in the Andes, Bolivia, Peru, so that they could have vegetables year-round. It's basically an underground greenhouse. They dig a hole in the ground. They put plexiglass over it at an angle to face the sun. Voila, you have year-round vegetables. We are doing kind of a modification of a Awalapini. BYU said that they would... We have pictures of them. And they're bermed on three sides, basically. You can build them out of tires. You can build them out of, you know, the rice bags or the tubes. You know, you just need to get mass about this thick on three sides. You cover it up with dirt, and then you have your angle like this of plexiglass or whatever, and your glass on the southern face. So we're going to have that, so that we're going to be growing food commercially on the property. So people who live on the property are going to have first chance at the jobs that are going to be created by these Awalapinis. So we're going to have an economic base there that's not only going to help us, but we're going to teach this technique to the farmers. Turkey farmers are right now in that area are losing money because of the corn prices are making it impossible to grow turkeys at a profit anymore. But they have all this ground, and they have these buildings, and so we're going to teach them how to do this. And we hope to have all of the produce for Salt Lake and Provo grown in this valley. This is a huge farming community, and we can actually do it. We've figured out how many acres you need and different things. So we feel really excited that we're going to have food there, you know, and we're going to have a community garden. We're going to have a community center. And in the community center, we're going to have a hobby room. We're going to have a wood shop. We're going to have a movie theater area, a computer area. Everything's going to be powered by solar. And that's my...
I know why you're
Yeah. And it might be something more exotic, but we're not talking about it.
Are you going to allow horses on the property?
Yes. There will be a little bit of room to roam the horses. Right now, our grass is about this tall, and we need horses. We want to get a llama. We want to get, you know, a cow, some chickens. Goats are good. Goats are better. Sheep tend to tear things up by the root, and so you lose your ground cover. So horses, cows, llamas graze a little better. We, you know, some of the smaller goat varieties. And the llamas keep the coyotes away, and we do have coyotes. We've removed 6 rattlesnakes so far. We just take them and put them elsewhere. We don't kill them. And we teach we teach the children. I've eaten rattlesnake before. We've taught the children that if you see a rattlesnake, you don't run away. You very quietly back up, saying snake, 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 keep it in your eyes so that we can, you know, remove it. And we've had children as young as 4 spot snakes for us. As a matter of fact, this one particular 4-year-old has spotted 2 snakes. So, yeah. Basically, we have had people come to us that asked if they could be nude on the property, that they were naturists. We turned them away. We said, you know, this is going to be a family-friendly, you know, atmosphere. We had some people who were known drug users want to be a part of us, and we said we want no illegal activities on the property because we don't want to lose the property to something stupid like somebody's marijuana joint. You know, what our personal feelings are about marijuana are irrelevant at this point. It's illegal, so nothing illegal is on the property. We don't want any known child abusers on the property, things like that.
They tell you, oh, that's no problem. We won't do that, but once they get on there...
They can still be kicked off if 90% of the people want to kick them off. They have to sign a contract. It's all very legal. Nobody owns the ground. Safe Haven Villages is a 501c3, a nonprofit organization, and we pay the money to them for a lease, and you get a 99-year lease on the ground. And so you can build your house. It's renewable. You probably have to pay some more money.
It'll still be around.
That's right. You know, Wren always says, where do you want to be buried? And I said, I'm not going to be buried. I'm twinkling. I don't believe in this dying stuff. Casey?
What are you doing for water?
Water is interesting. Because of the Cox Decree in Utah, if you didn't have agricultural water on your property by 1939, you don't get to put agricultural water back on your property. They will allow you to drill wells for personal use. So we're in the process of getting, we bought 4 water shares, and it takes about 3 months to get that process all taken care of. Then we're drilling a well. And I incidentally water witched for a well and found a couple, 3 different places where we're going to do a well. I don't know if any of you have ever seen, they're copper wires, you know, that you hold in your hand. And I've been doing this, you know, ever since I've been a real estate agent. A lot of real estate agents in Utah do this.
Pretty popular here too.
Yeah, and so you hold them and you walk along, and when they cross, that's where the water is. But they cross it, you know, sometimes really strong and sometimes just Well, the place where I crossed, the, I've never had this happen before, they started spinning. I went, okay, we've got water right here. Good place for Blaine. Yeah, that was interesting.
Have you considered collecting your rainwater?
Yes, it just became legal in Utah in in February. When we first started this, we thought we were going to do this. Oh, whoops, our rainwater just accidentally went into our septic tank, a cistern. We were going to do it under the table, but now they've legalized you can actually hold 2,500 gallons. Because if you put rainwater into a container and hold on to it, the farmer downstream from you does not have the water table the same, because you're withholding his water table. Well, water in Utah, people kill each other over it.
1 inch of rain on a 1,000-square-foot roof is 500 gallons of water. I call BS on there. Your farmer's not getting
it. On an acre, it's 27,400.
And so, the fire marshal, incidentally, the fire marshal is requiring us to hold more than 2,500 gallons per house for fire reasons, because we're in junipers, and junipers are highly flammable. So we're going to have many cisterns, plus our well, plus the Wallapinis are going to truck in water, and it's a hydroponics closed-loop system, and so they're going to reuse their water over and over again. So we're trying to be, you know, conservative. They are not allowing us to do our desiccating toilets in the houses yet. We're just showing it out in the campground area. We have a campground area for our volunteers and for our people building houses. And then there's another area where all the motorhomes are for us that aren't so brave to be in tents. There's nobody that lives there full time. We're all pretty much there every weekend. So Wren and I are, you know, we've spent like 10 days in a row there, and we're there on the weekends, and there's a lot of people that come. We've had as many as 25 or 30 volunteers come up, and so it's just been a really exciting project. So if any of you want something fun and different to do, you can come volunteer and learn how to build adobe stuff, and we have a lot of fun, do the campfires at night. You know, sit around and talk and listen to the coyotes. And
gathering there sometime in an old camp
out. Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit already. It's like, oh, this would be so fun to have everybody from Keister's here. And we're building little hobbits, little hobbit cabins. And as long as we don't put electricity and permanent toilets in them, we can have these cabins. And so I thought, you know, those would be nice for people coming for the gathering, that we'd have these little hobbit houses. And, you know, they're really cute. It's just going to be fun. Yurts are very expensive. Yeah, we've checked into them. They can be as expensive as $50,000 down to $12,000 or down to $5,000, depending on the size. Yeah, teepees are expensive. Mud is cheap. And yeah, and have you ever heard of the cob dance? You know, we actually mix the cob up with our feet. You mix 1 part clay, 3 parts sandy dirt, about a half to 1 5-gallon bucket of water, and you pour it out on a tarp in layers, and you take your shoes off, and you get in it, and you mix it up. Yeah, you mix it up. And, you know, you pay hundreds of dollars for a mud bath at a spa. I mean, this is free. So, yeah. And
people will pay to do it, and then they'll do it if you, you know.
Well, actually, we have had people come and pay to do workshops to learn how to do Cobb. But the kids love it. The kids love to get their feet in it. They, you know, it's like the consistency of bread dough, and you have to slap it down really hard. And so if, you know, we're mad at each other, at least we can get our frustrations out, you know, slapping that mud around. But it's been a lot of work, and it's a lot of fun, and we'd just love to have you guys learn more about us and just participate on the forum, even, you know, if you can't ever come in person. It would just be fun to have you all. I mean, Crestone is kind of like us. It's called an intentional community. There's over 1,000 intentional communities, but they all have a different little twist on them. Some of them are nudist. Some of them, you know, I mean, some of them are raw food. Some of them are vegan. You know, there's just all different kinds. But exactly like ours, we're a little different.
Have you invited the local media out?
We are going to, when we open up the Wallapinis, we're going to start having, Deseret News was with us, the photographer, last weekend, all weekend, taking pictures.
What about non-citizens?
As long as your visa will let you stay, we don't care. You know, we're really wanting to be, yeah, as long as it's not illegal, that's all we care about. James?
What's the power source? You said you're going to be self-sufficient or something like that.
My son-in-law, Sterling, is going to be beta testing some electromagnetic motors that different inventors have asked us to beta test for them. There's a lot of interest because Sterling on this PezWiki.com, I mean, he's been to Estonia, Africa. He's been all over the world speaking our alternative energy. And so these inventors are from all over the world are contacting him and saying, will you test our motor, you know? So we're going to be using solar. Right now, Ren and I are on solar quite a bit. We have solar panels that we use, and we'll have wind. So to the world, we're going to have solar and wind. We don't talk too much publicly about some of these other things that we're doing because they tend to get blown up, stolen, broken.
The history of that area as far as range fire.
It's not too bad. We don't get it. It's potentially very bad, and so we do not allow smoking except in a very limited area of the property. You can't build a fire except, you know, we have two fire pits.
Yeah, but it's all the adjacent thousands of acres that
it's
also.
Right. All the thousands of adjacent. We are the only, let's see, the closest neighbor is across the valley.
I'm talking more like lightning strikes.
There's potential for it, but there hasn't been anything like that in many, many years in that area. But, you know, just talk to the people in the 100-year floodplain up in Camas Valley. They got it this year. So, you know, we try to just set out our intention that things will work because you're always in danger. Yeah, we make people sign waivers if you come on the property that you will not sue us if you get bit by a rattlesnake or, you know, you get hurt working on the property. We have to protect ourselves. You know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't do stuff like that. You know, you should trust people. And it's like, have you ever read that scripture, you know, be harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent? You know, we're trying to be wise even though... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to make those kind of mistakes. So we're trying to be careful. You know, there's sovereign citizens. Blaine will understand this statement. There are sovereign citizens who will not come on our property because we make them sign a contract that they won't sue us. They're very insulted.
Really? Sovereigns won't?
Yeah, we've...
That doesn't
make any sense. Yeah, I know.
Most sovereigns are pretty dead set against you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're mad that we're even asking them to sign anything because they're saying, you know, we wouldn't sue you. We don't believe in it.
Oh, they should be willing to make a statement that they're...
That's what we think. So anyway, there's just, you know, a lot going on, and we just would be excited to have anybody come and visit us.
Yeah.
I'm considering doing something similar in this area. If anybody's interested, talk to me about it. I haven't really gotten started yet.
Up in Roby Creek?
No, not Roby Creek. I'm considering in Oahu. There's an old obscure law that you can get land from the BLM, certain types of land for very, very cheap.
Thank you, Susan. Give her a big hand.